scripture comes from Malachi 3rd chapter 8th through 10th verse. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offering. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it.
Why give to God? That's a question that I want to try to answer, or I want to try to let God answer from His Word this morning. Malachi chapter 3 is the chapter, and verses 8 through 10. If you don't know where Malachi is, just find Matthew and go back one. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And some would say, well, preacher, this is Old Testament. We're in the New Testament now. Why are you sharing verses from the Old Testament? Well, is not the Old Testament still the Word of God? Another objection is, giving is a touchy subject. We shouldn't even bring it up because some are offended by it. But I believe that it is not proclaiming the whole counsel of God and not really paying attention to a very important portion of God's Word if we neglect it. Now, it's not one of the Ten Commandments, so... You know, you can look in vain to try to find it among the Ten Commandments. But the first of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt have no other graven images before me. But basically, what it means is that we are to worship God above all. And I believe that any worship that does not include giving back to Him is really not sincere worship. And I also believe that if we neglect this important subject, that we forfeit a blessing from God. Now, you probably have heard some jokes like, well, you know, Joe's over in the hospital having his tithe taken out. You probably heard that expression. The hospitals are very expensive, and it can devastate someone financially. So we understand that, but I don't know that God works that way. I just think that God has promised a blessing to those who give to Him. And it's a privilege. I heard a preacher say one time, and it stuck with me, that if he were an unsaved person, he would want the blessing of God on his life. And he would give a tenth just for the motive that God is going to bless me for it. And I think God is honored, or honor-bound, to keep this promise that He makes here in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, do you want the blessing of God upon your life? And now you may say, well, right now I just can't. But proportional giving is fair giving. And God doesn't expect those that have very little to give a lot proportionally. Do you remember the poor widow who Jesus commended because she gave all that she had, but it was only like a couple cents? It's not really the amount. God is rich. He doesn't need our money. But He wants to bless us. And I believe that's the motive that we ought to have as we approach the Word of God on this subject. Why give to God? Well, there are three reasons why I believe we should give to God. Number one is because there is a negligence that we need to avoid. In verse 8, God asked the question, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me." But you ask, "How do we rob you?" "In tithes and offerings," God answers. Now, I don't really think anyone sets out to say, "Well, I'm going to rob God. I'm going to hold back what I know belongs to Him." And really, when you think of it, doesn't everything belong to Him? Everything goes back to Him. We can't take anything with us. Someone has said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. Because Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust is corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither thief can break in and steal or moth and rust can corrupt." But I think that it's mainly because of negligence. And one of the big problems, well, let me say, I looked up a recent survey by the Barna Group. Now, you may know that George Barna is a Christian statistician, I guess. He takes polls and kind of supplies the Christian world with some very important statistics. One of the recent polls was about giving, how much the average American gives to God. I believe it's about 2.5% that the average American gives to all charitable causes. But even among evangelicals, those who claim to be born-again Christians, only about 9% tithe, that is, give a tenth of their income to God. And I think that ought to be a warning flag to us. Why do we have the lack of God's blessings upon our lives? I think it could be traced back to the fact that we are not trusting God with a tithe. And it really is a matter of faith, I believe. We are not trusting Him because here it says, God says, "You are under a curse because you are robbing me." Now, I don't think that we do that by design, but by negligence. The question that God asks is, "Will a man rob God?" What we'd say, "Well, I don't want to rob God. I don't have anything that's His." Yes, you do. Everything that you have belongs to Him. You are but a steward of what He has given you. Now, in the business world, we would call that embezzlement. And that's a bad thing, to be an embezzler. There are many that are in jail because they have embezzled from an employer. But are we not doing the same when we do not return to God that which really belongs to Him? I think it's a matter of faith. We don't believe that God is going to provide for us. And so we hold back. There was a couple in the Old Testament, and I suppose you could argue either way, they were born-again Christians, or maybe they weren't born-again Christians, but their names were Ananias and Sapphira. Now, the only Sapphira I knew was Amos and Andy, which I think has been banned now, which I used to love. I used to love to watch Amos and Andy on television. Some of you may remember it from radio. You're really old if you remember them on radio. But Sapphira is not a popular name because she's one of the bad people, I guess you could say, of the New Testament. She and her husband Ananias, and I haven't heard that name very much either. But they lied to God, made it seem like they had given a great gift to God, but really it wasn't proportional. Really, they held back what they sold the property. And they saw that others were bringing offerings to God, very generous offerings, among them Barnabas, who sold a farm in the island of Cyprus. And he brought all of the money to the Lord because he didn't need it. And he knew that God would recompense him for it. It was really an act of faith. Well, they wanted to get in on that blessing. And so they brought this large gift. But they really held back because I think they didn't really believe that God was going to repay them. What we give to God is never lost. That's the message of the Word of God. And that's why God asked the question here, "Will a man rob God?" There's an exposition here. When God says, yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, God says. So here is the answer. Here's the answer that we maybe didn't even want to hear. In tithes and offerings. There's a transgression. Again, I don't know that it's one of the Ten Commandments, but I suppose you could say that the commandment that says, thou shalt not steal, applies to this. Because did not God say here how will a man rob God, yet you rob me? Isn't that stealing? Well, yes, it is. And so there's a negligence that I think we need to address in our own lives. Are we neglecting this important part of faith, really our faith walk with the Lord? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, even if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe that God would bless you if you would give to Him. Give proportionally. Now, I know the New Testament doesn't say a lot about tithing, although Jesus did say these things you ought to have done, speaking of tithing, and not to leave the other things undone, that is, the less the good works, doing good deeds and helping others. We are to tithe according to the New Testament. And some would say, well, wasn't this a Jewish law? No, it wasn't really a Jewish law. It was given to, probably at the creation. Because Abraham, we're told, who is not really Jewish, he was a forefather of Isaac and Jacob. But there are many peoples, of course, descended from Abraham. It was before God gave the law, certainly before Mount Sinai and Moses, when God really formed the nation of Israel. But God instructed Abraham to give tithes to one Melchizedek. And you can go back and look at that in the book of Genesis. Just look it up in your concordance. But he did. He gave tithes, a tenth, to Melchizedek. Now, I think what that says is that it is a universal obligation. And there is a promise that comes with it, as we'll see in just a moment. But there's a negligence here. But also a consequence. The consequence. And the consequence is found in the words there of the Lord. He says, how do you rob me? And the question, or the answer, comes back in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, God says, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. So there is a consequence. And the offense is robbery. Now, robbery is an offense still today, isn't it, Gary? You probably have come across a few situations like that. So I think it's still against the law. It's still wrong. And here God equates withholding the tithe as an offense. Now, I know the government doesn't look very kindly on those who withhold taxes. And we don't like taxes. Maybe we like taxes even less than we like giving to God. Because we think, well, that's money down the drain. That's money wasted. Our government is so wasteful. And I could make better use of that money. And after all, the government is rich. They don't need my money. And so we could rationalize that way. But it is robbery. That's the offense. And the influence here is spoken of by God when He says, the whole nation of you. The whole nation. I think because it's like a disease that begins to affect the whole body. And when we disobey God, when we who claim to know Him do not walk by faith, but rather by sight, isn't that what we're doing? When we withhold what really belongs to Him, one-tenth. Now, one-tenth, we would say, well, does that mean after everything else is one-tenth of what's left over? That's what maybe we would like to think. But no, it means all that God has given us. We are to give a return attempt to Him. And then He promises us a blessing, as we'll see here in just a moment. But there's an influence in this consequence. There's a sentence by God when He said, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you. I don't want to be under the curse of God, do you? But maybe we should ask ourselves, why is all this happening? Why am I, my needs not being supplied as God has promised that He's going to supply my needs? And maybe we rationalize thinking, well, you know, I have all of these other obligations that I need to meet first. And surely God would expect me to do that. Well, I don't really think so. I think that God wants us to exercise faith and trust Him that He is going to supply our needs when we give to Him. You can't outgive God. And I would just want to challenge each of us to prove the tithe. as we're going to see next here, there is a recompense here where God speaks of that here in verse 10, where he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now that refers, of course, to the Old Testament times when they had a storehouse in the temple, and they would bring grain and they would put it in the storehouse and other usually commodities. Some of it may have been money. But it was everything that God had blessed the nation with. They were to bring it to the storehouse. And then he said that there may be food in my house. Now there is a presenting here. We are to present to God what belongs to him. And there is a proving. God says, test me in this. Test me in this. God wants us to test him. Now, there are some times that we think, well, you know, I don't want to test the Lord. I don't want to tempt him. I don't want to make it seem like, I don't believe what he says. But I think that how we test him is we do what he says. And then we find out, is God true to his word? Is he going to supply our needs? Now, you might have to wait a day or two. You might have to wait a week or two. You might have to wait a year. But God has promised that he's going to supply your needs. Some of you may be having some financial difficulties and other difficulties. And I know this is a kind of a hard time that we're in. We're teetering on the brink of recession. And this is kind of a depressed area of our state. And I understand all that. But I'm just challenging us to think about testing God in this area of the tithe. Maybe the reason why we are not supplied as we ought to be is that we're not trusting God. Now again, Ananias and Sapphira, they died. God took them home. If they were Christians, many believe that they were. Because they did not prove God. They did not believe that God would do what they said he was going to do. They had this scripture. I think they were well aware of it. They knew that this was in the Old Testament, in their scriptures. And yet they did not want to prove God. But God had promised here a pouring. He says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, did not Jesus say the same thing when he said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together? That referred to their, pouring that grain, and those that were crooked would just kind of, let a lot of air be in that sack there so you wouldn't get as much grain. But Jesus said that he would give it to you, pour it out, and it would be shaken down and overflowing. Just a veritable picture of what God has promised here in his word. If I will not open, he said, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. In that survey that I read by the Barna Group, they went on and described what are the reasons why people don't give. And one thing that they omitted, of course, was what we spoke of about the faith issue, that people just don't trust that God is going to provide. I mean, that's obvious. But there was, the recent scandals in the church, kind of the disaffection that a lot of people feel with leaders in the church, and the fact that there's not a clear purpose in a church certainly can hinder giving. I think a mission, a lack of a mission, a sense of a mission, things like that. And we can use things like that to demotivate us, I suppose. But I just believe that when we give to the Lord through his church, and we trust the Lord that he is going to take that offering and he is going to multiply it like he did the loaves and the fishes, and that he is going to take whatever it is that we are. The Bible says that we are to be a cheerful giver. We are to give not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. But I think as we give, and I think if we want to know how much, I think really the tenth is just the starting point. I've known and heard many testimonies of Christians who started out giving and realized that they cannot outgive God. And as they increase their giving, God increased the blessings upon their lives. But are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to walk by faith and not by sight? If we are, we'll give to God what belongs to Him. And God will bless us far out of proportion to what we give to Him.